You ladies, I hope that each one of you understand and have experienced the truth of that song. God sees the other side. Amen. God sees not only what we do see, God sees what we do not see. And sometimes we get all caught up in emotion and all caught up in the things that we see or experience, not realizing that there's another side. And that's the Godward side. God has a purpose for things that He does in and through our lives, even in the storms of life, the trials of life. God has lessons to teach us and things that He wants us to learn that we would not learn any other way except that He allow us to pass through the storm. I, as the pastor, want to offer my condolences to the Baldwin family, also to the Weekly family. You be much in prayer for these families as they go through difficult days ahead. You know, as believers, we are thankful that when we know that those in whom we love are saved and they make that passing, that we will see them again. And we sorrow not as others which have no hope, but that doesn't mean we do not sorrow. There will always be sorrow in the heart when you have to say goodbye to a loved one. But in reality, I'm thankful that in my heart we can say, I'll see you again. I'll see you again. Because we know that they have received Jesus as their personal Savior. So our condolences and prayers certainly go to the Baldwin family and also to the Weekly family. You have your Bible open to Jonah chapter number 4. I want to talk to you some out of chapter 4 of the book of Jonah. And maybe talk with you some tonight out of the book of Jonah as well. Maybe for the next couple of weeks, just talk with you some out of the book of Jonah. You know, that was our intended theme of our missions conference, but God kind of changed some things and God began to work in my heart during the week, and I thought about some of these scripture and I'd like to share them with you today. You know, we all, as believers, we ought to always be thinking about people that are without Jesus Christ. I'm glad for the day in my life that someone cared enough about me to share the gospel with me. You know who that person is that shared it with you. You'll never forget the person that leads you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You'll never forget them. You'll always be grateful in your heart for that person that shows you from the Bible how you can be saved and know Jesus as your personal Savior. And God wants every one of us to be telling others. I spoke to our Sunday school class this morning, and in speaking to them, I reminded them, as I was reminded as well, that each one of us have been left here to tell others about Jesus Christ. As we read the Bible, when people get saved, I think of Andrew. When he got saved, he immediately went out and found Peter, his brother. I think of Nathaniel, who went and got Philip. I think of Paul, who immediately began to tell others about what God had done in his life. The woman of Samaria, there at the well, she went out and she began to tell the whole city what Jesus had done for her. She said, come see a man. Amen. And she told him about Jesus Christ. You know, every believer ought to be a part of that. Now, you may not do it the way I do it, and I may not do it the way you do it, but every believer should be sharing with other people the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we know that not every believer does. There's been times in my life, and perhaps times in your life, that we've gotten a little, well, we've gotten a little inept at that. We've gotten a little lax in remembering that eternity is real. Jesus is coming. Hell exists, brethren. You know, we all want to talk about the beauty of heaven, and I'm grateful for that. I'm going there, amen. I'm going to heaven because I'm saved in the grace of God. Nothing good that I have done, but because Christ died for me and I received His death, burial, and resurrection, the record that God gave, I received that into my life. I received by faith that Jesus died in my place. And because of that, I'm going to heaven because I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and have received what God says about that. We have a picture here in the scripture. Jesus was speaking in Matthew and he begins to talk about this prophet here. And there's several interesting things about this man, Jonah. And I want to talk to you about Jonah. You probably know that this is a fishing story, and sometimes fishing stories can get exaggerated. We have any fishermen in here? Any fishermen? No fishermen? Wow. Man, raise your hand if you're a fisherman. Okay. All right. I think we've all heard fishing stories, and sometimes they get out of hand. This was not about a man whose fish got bigger. This is about a man whose fish swallowed him. Amen. Listen, you think you have trouble down at the workplace telling people, you know, as your fish gets bigger, as your story goes on. Could you imagine Jonah telling people what happened to him? Could you imagine that? And yet, listen, brethren, it happened. It happened. You say, well, you know, there's never been a recorded instance. Well, actually, there has been recorded instances where things like this have happened, but that's not why I believe it. I believe it because God said it. Amen. See, I believe God's Word. This man, Jonah, is unique. He's different. God could have chosen any one of His prophets. There was Amos. There was Hosea. There was Nahum, who did prophesy to Nineveh. You read the book of Nahum and you'll find that he's prophesying to the people that God sent Jonah to. God could have chosen any one of His prophets, reached outside the realm of His prophets and chosen anyone to go to Nineveh. Now, granted, when you study about Nineveh and you know some things about Nineveh, which is the capital of Assyria, you'll find out why. Well, maybe most, if not all, the prophets would have been a little reluctant to go. But God, listen, God chose a man that He knew was going to say no. God chose that man. Now, why? See, I believe with all of my heart there were prophets that God could have chosen that though they may have swallowed hard and said, now, Lord, I don't know, but I'll go. I'll do it because You said do it. Why did God choose Jonah? Well, I want to try to answer that question from the Bible today. What was God doing when He called this man? Here was a man that said, listen, he believed right. I want to show you this. Look in Jonah chapter 1, if you would, just for a moment. So you won't get the wrong idea. See, I believe I'm talking to a group of people this morning that believe right. I believe you read your Bible. For the most part, I believe I'm speaking to a group of people that read their Bible. You may not read it daily, and if you don't, you ought to. Amen. But I believe I'm speaking to a group of people that believe the Bible, that read their Bible, that believe God is God, that there's none beside Him. There's no other God like the God of heaven, the Creator God, the God that created all things. You believe that. You know some things about God. Well, see, Jonah was that way. Jonah knew God. Notice in chapter 1 and verse number 9, when Jonah got in a little trouble, you know, the storm came up on the sea as Jonah had got on a ship to run from God, and God sent a storm his way. Running from God, listen to me, the storms will catch up with you. You say, I'll outrun God. There's nowhere you can go where God is not. You will not outrun God. Now listen to me, you say, I'll outsmart God. There's nothing you know that God doesn't already know. Now you hear me. You may think in your little finite mind, and I may think in my little pea brain that I can outsmart God or I can outrun God, but brethren, it's not going to happen. And so, though Jonah said, when God told Jonah, He said, Jonah, I want you to get up and I want you to go to these people in Nineveh and I want you to tell them that I'm going to judge them if they don't get saved, if they don't turn to Me, if they don't repent of their sin, if they don't accept Me as the God of heaven, I'm going to judge them. And Jonah went down and he paid the fare thereof and he got on the ship in Joppa and he said, I'm going to Tarshish. Amen. I'm going to camp out over on the coast, the west coast of Spain, and I'm going to go as far away as Nineveh as I can get. And he probably thought, when he got on that boat, he probably thought, man, I'm glad that's over. Smooth sailing from here. But God had different things in mind. And God sent the storm. And when we say no to God and when we tell God, I will not, God says, oh yeah, you will. Now we can do this one of two ways. Amen. I used to like those old Midas commercials. Remember those old Midas muffler commercials? You can pay me now or you can pay me later. Now listen, you can do God's will now or you can do it later. We can do God's will the way God intends it to be done, or we can do it, listen, through gritted teeth. But let me tell you something now. If you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you and I are going to serve God one way or the other. We can enjoy this thing or we can endure it. But now you hear me. God's not going to let you do what you want to do and how you want to do it. God's going to hold us accountable. So he said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I don't want to go to Nineveh. Well, as I said, if you knew some things, and I'm not going into great detail, but the Bible says, just gives us a little hint in chapter 1. Look at it there in chapter 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. He said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, there's four times in the book of Jonah that this city is mentioned as a great city. I want to show you something, okay? The first time that God says something about Nineveh in the book of Jonah, he said, this city is a sinful city. Notice what he said. Go to Nineveh in chapter 1, verse 2. That great city, you underline that phrase, great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, if you'll just skip over to chapter number 3, you'll see where he says again. Now, some things have transpired when he says the second time, but he said in chapter number 3 and verse number 3, he said in chapter 3, verse number 3, he said, so Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city. There's that phrase again. Great city of a 3 days journey. Now this is speaking of the size. Now in chapter 1 it's speaking of the sin of the city. Wicked. But now this is speaking of the size of the city. Big. Listen, there's those who believe that there was upward to 1 million people, even in this day, in this city. Before the population explosion, there was upward to 1 million people. They get that from not only Assyrian history, but from the scripture, as we shall see in just a moment, saying that there were 120,000 infant and toddlers, all right? Now, if you look at verse number 4, it's mentioned again. In verse number 4, chapter 3, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, and he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He spoke of the city. The city. It was a great city. It was big. It was a big city. Then he said in chapter number 4, look at it. In chapter 4, he mentioned in verse number 11, God said, should I not spare Nineveh, that great city? And here he begins to talk about the souls because he mentions, if you'll notice, he said, wherein are more than 60. Now, you may not know what a score is, but a score is 20. And 60, 6 times 20 is 120. There is 60,000, 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. Little children, little infants in reality. Now God did this for a purpose, and we'll get back to this in a moment. But God said in Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. He said, it's a place with a need. It's a place where if somebody don't go tell them, they're going to die in their sin. They're going to die without a knowledge of God. And they're going to have to pay the punishment of their own sin. And Jonah said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And God said, okay. And God let Jonah go his way. But now we'll revisit that in a moment. I want to talk to you about Jonah's knowledge. See, Jonah knew God. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 1, in verse number 9, the Bible says when the mariners that were there on the ship, they began to rapid-fire questions at Jonah. In chapter 1, verse number 9, he answered and said unto them, I am an Hebrew. In other words, I am of the covenant people. I am of the father, my father Abraham. I'm the covenant people. You know, the ones that God revealed himself to, the ones that God sent himself. Listen, when he sent Moses, and Moses said, God, who shall I say that sent me when they asked? He said, you let them know that I am has sent thee. You let them know that the self-sufficient, self-sustaining, the God of Israel has sent you, Moses. And Jonah said, I know that God. I'm of that people. I'm a Hebrew. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. He said, I fear the Lord. You see that word Lord there? It's in all capital letters. I fear Jehovah. I fear the God of creation. I fear the God of the covenant. This is what Jonah's saying about himself. He said, I'm a Hebrew. I'm of the covenant people. I fear the Lord. Look what he said. I believe that the God that I fear is the God of heaven and that he made the sea and the dry land. See, Jonah, there was nothing wrong with his belief system. He believed right. So we could say really in his mind, Jonah had God down pat.
in his mind. And that's where a lot of Christians are today. In our mind, we know about this God. God's arrested our mind. God, we understand that God is the God of heaven. That the God that wrote this book and gave it to man is the God of heaven. We fear this God. We know this God. We are of the family of this God, you see. And then when you turn to chapter number 4, you find where Jonah knows some other things about this God. Notice if you would in chapter number 4. Now, I'm going to throw something on you. I'm going to hit you with what I called in Sunday school this morning a truth bomb. All right? A truth bomb. Why didn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh? Well, there's been a lot of speculation, but there's no need to speculate. The Bible lays it right out here. Jonah tells us why he didn't want to go. He didn't want to see the people get saved. Now you say, now wait a minute, preacher. Could it be that there are people who are of God that don't want to see people get saved? Well, I don't know. You tell me. Could that be? See, while some have not run in a different direction, they won't go. They won't tell. See, while we could point our finger at Jonah and say, Jonah, you're backslid. Jonah, you're a wicked man. Jonah, you're no count for God. Jonah, you give God a bad name. Jonah, you give God's covenant people a bad name, Jonah. Well, you're no prophet, Jonah. Jonah said, I admit to you. At least Jonah was willing to admit it. Look in chapter 4, verse number 2. Chapter 4, verse number 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. See, Jonah knew some things about God. I knew that thou art a gracious God. He said, I knew that thou art merciful. I knew that thou art slow to anger. I knew that thou art of great kindness and repentest thee of the evil. I just knew that if I gave them the message and they cried out to God and said, God, be merciful to us, I knew you'd be merciful. That's why I didn't go. Because I didn't want to see them receive your forgiveness. I didn't want them to get your compassion. You say, well, that's a no good somebody. Right? Would you say that? What's a no good somebody that wouldn't want to see people get the mercy of God in their life? Right? Come on, folks. I know you lost an hour, but I'll let you pick it up when you get home. Amen? That hour will get you. Amen. If I wasn't up here moving around, it might get me. Right? What would we think about a person if they stood up and said, I just want to testify in the church tonight, preacher. I want to testify that I'm not for people getting saved. There's a group of people that I hope don't get saved. See, Jonah going to Nineveh would be like a Jew going to Nazi Germany. Around World War II. Or perhaps God would lay on your heart to go over into a combine where there's Islamic radical terrorists training to blow up our buildings and kill our people and say, now you tell them about Jesus. See, that was the equivalent of that. And yet, God's not excusing Jonah for his not wanting to tell them. God's not excusing him. And we could all stand on this side of Jonah and look back and say, Jonah, I tell you right now, you're a terrible somebody. I can't believe that you wouldn't want those people to know about the mercy of God. I can't believe that you wouldn't want to tell them. I can't believe it. Can I ask you a question? And I'm not trying to embarrass you or shame you. I just want us to be real today. How many of us have told one person in the last 3 days? Now listen, let's don't judge Jonah now before we evaluate ourselves. See, the Bible says for what judgment that you pass out is going to be meted back to you. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Did you tell anybody in the last week about Jesus? What about the last 30 days?
Have you taken your Bible or have you taken your tongue and have you told somebody the judgment of God's going to fall on you? But God has made a way for you to escape that judgment. God has given His only begotten Son because He loves you so much. Your sin has brought about the condemnation of God upon you. And if you die in your sin, you will die in your sin and go to hell. But God doesn't want you to go to hell. That's why God gave His only begotten Son. He came and He lived the perfect life and He died a gruesome death. He was laid in an empty tomb, but thank God, 3 days later, He came out of that tomb, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Have you shared that story with anybody in the last 30 days? See, let us not be quick to point our finger at Jonah and say, Jonah, how dare you? How dare you say that you don't want to go because you knew God would forgive him? See, I know God will forgive him too. And can I say that every person in here that's saved, you know God will forgive them too. How do you know that, preacher? Because you know God forgave you. And if God would forgive you, and if God would forgive me, God would forgive them. And if we know God will forgive them, and we don't tell them, can I tell you, we're in no better condition than Jonah. Oh, we can make ourselves believe we are. We can make Jonah's situation separate and different than ours. But the same God that commissioned Jonah and said, Jonah, go tell them, has told me that and told you that. Go ye not just to Nineveh, church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, you can't give the gospel to the wrong person. You can't do it. Jonah said, I don't want to go. Because I know just as sure as I go and tell them, and they repent, you'll forgive them. Because I know you, God. So see, Jonah had a good mental knowledge of God. God had Jonah's mind. In chapter number 2, you'll find with me, if you'll look in verse number 9 and verse number 10, it took a little while, but God got Jonah's will. Look, if you would, in verse number 9 of chapter 2 of Jonah, verse number 10. But I will sacrifice unto thee. And then he said in the next phrase there in chapter 9, I will pay that that I have vowed, salvations of the Lord. See, God got his mind. Jonah knew some things about God. And God eventually got his will. God eventually got Jonah's will. And Jonah said, I will do some things. Amen. Then you know what God got? Chapter number 3, look at this. God got his body. Look, if you would, in chapter 3, just for a moment. The Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, and tonight I'm going to be preaching on the God of another chance. I am so glad that God gives us another chance. You say, you see, you may be here this morning and you've completely failed God and you've completely just, listen, you've just messed up. Can I tell you, God, that hasn't changed the fact that God loves you. That hasn't changed the fact that God still wants to use you and God still wants to bring profit from your life. God will give you another chance. He will. And God came to Jonah and gave him another opportunity. And this time, Jonah's mind was involved, as it was in chapter 1. His will and even his body. Notice what the Bible says. God said in verse number 2, Jonah, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went. He didn't send an email. Jonah didn't text them. Amen. Jonah physically, bodily, got up and went to where God sent him. That's the way you go. Amen. Right, church? Right? All right, where's my ushers? Let's turn the air on. Let's freeze them out. Amen. They're getting hot and sleepy. His body. But now in chapter 4, and this is where I want to close. I want to spend a little time here in chapter 4. Look at verse number 10. We find there was a part of Jonah that I don't think God ever got. And my question to you today is, does God have your heart? See, God's got many people's mind. They have a knowledge of Him. They've read of Him. They've sit in Sunday school classes. We've attended church services. And God's got our mind. We know what God says is so. You can't improve on what God has said. Amen. You can't improve on this book right here. Would to God people would get that and quit trying to correct it and just let it correct them. Say amen right there. The Bible wasn't given for man to correct. The Bible was given to correct man. You read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It's given for correction. The Word of God is to correct me. Why? I'm in error. I need God to correct me. Had his mind. Got his will in chapter 2. And even got his body. All right, God, I'll do it. Now, I want to say something right here, and please don't miss this. If you don't get anything else, and I believe you will, I pray you'd get this. Now, don't miss this. I have had people ask me throughout my 30 years of ministry, preacher, if I do the will of God, will I be happy? No, not necessarily. I'm going to say that again so you won't go and say that the preacher said something that wasn't so. Not you, Troy. If I do the will of God, will I be happy? Question number one. Did God tell Jonah to go to Nineveh? Was it God's will for Jonah to go to Nineveh? This means yes. That means no. Yes. Did God tell Jonah to go to Nineveh? Did Jonah go to Nineveh? Did Jonah do God's will by going to Nineveh? Since going to Nineveh was God's will and Jonah went, then Jonah did God's will. Was Jonah happy about it? No. You know why? Because Jonah wasn't enjoying doing the will of God. He was enduring it. All right, I'll do it. If this will get the preacher off of me, if this will get the church off of me, if this will get God off of me, I'll do it. Really? So you read chapter 4, and Jonah goes, and I'm paraphrasing now, but I'm going to catch you up to verse number 10. So Jonah goes and he preaches. Now, I've had people tell me for years, and by the way, I used to think this, okay? I used to think, oh, I could never witness to people. I was sharing my Sunday school class this morning that I used to be shy and introverted. And after they got up out of the floor back in their chairs, they said, some of them said, well, you know, I used to be too. And perhaps you're shy and introverted, you know, and you have a problem speaking to other people and meeting new people. Perhaps you're that way. But you know, there's something happened to me when I got saved. God put something in me, brethren, listen to me. I can't help but to speak the things which I've seen and heard. I just can't help but tell people about Jesus. Man, this is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me. This is the greatest news I've ever heard. How am I going to keep that in? This is the greatest news ever. So Jonah, he gets this, he goes and he gives them 8 words. Is it chapter 3, verse number 2 maybe? Is that where it is? He said, I want you to preach the preaching that I should bid unto thee. And then the message was, in 40 days, yet 40 days, and you shall be overthrown. Is that what it says? You following? Is that what it says? Look down at your Bible now. I want you to see. 8 words. 8 words. Jonah went through the city preaching 8 words. I like that number 8. How many people got off the ark after the flood? Yeah, 8. 8 is the number of new beginning. Okay? Listen to me. 7's the number of God. 6 is the number of man. 5 is the number of grace. 3 is the number of Trinity. 4 and 40, and those are numbers of probation. That's why it's 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights. You'll see the flood. You'll see where people fasted. Jesus fasted. You'll find 40 is a time of probation. Numbers have significance. 8 is a number of new beginning. 8 words in the English language. 8 words. Listen to me. You know how many is in the Greek language or the Hebrew language? 5. And that's, oh, what a coincidence. Yeah, I know. What a coincidence. 5 is the number of grace. 8 is the number of new beginning. What a coincidence that God would do that. Oh, yeah, I know. You know. 8 words. You say, preacher, I'm not much of a talker. I don't have the gift of gab. I don't know what I'll tell them. Just tell them what God said. Just tell them you're under condemnation. If you don't get saved, you're going to die in your sin and go to hell. But Jesus loves you now, and He don't want you to do that. Amen.
We think we've got to be some kind of super spiritual. We've got to be able to lay it down and do all these things and line it up and have charisma and have personality. You know what you've got to do? You've got to have a willing heart that cares for people. I don't want to see people die in their sin and go to hell. You just got to care about some folks. See, Jonah didn't care. What's our excuse? Wonder why folks are not telling today. Jonah just came out and said, I don't tell because I don't care. Man, I don't care if I go to hell or not. What's our excuse? Could it be that we don't care either? I'm not indicting you. I don't know what's in your heart, and nor do you know what's in my heart. But there's a reason that people are not telling other people about Jesus Christ. What is that reason? You profess to know Jesus as your Savior. Why are you not telling other people? Could it be that we have the attitude of Jonah? And this is where we'll close. What was Jonah's attitude, preacher? Why did God choose this prophet? Why didn't He choose Hosea, the prophet who loved his wife, who would not let her go? Listen to me. Who followed her even to her lover's house and gave her gifts. Who would not let her go. He loved her to the end. He loved her through sin. Hosea was a prophet of love. He loved her. Why didn't God choose Hosea? Why didn't He choose Amos? The man with a basket of fruit. The man that said, prepare to meet thy God. One of the greatest lines in all the scripture. One of the greatest phrases in all the Bible. Why didn't God choose Amos or Nahum or Micah, who said your sins are buried in the depth of God's sea? Oh, what a wonderful prophet was Micah. Why didn't He choose Obadiah? Why did He choose Jonah? You know, I believe in my heart now that I've studied this, and as I've read and studied and meditated, I believe God chose Jonah because God said, Dale Freeman, I want to show you somebody that if you're not careful, you'll become just like him. And if you don't guard, you can make every kind of excuse you want to make, Dale. But son, you too can become like this man where you don't care if people die and go to hell or not. You may not stand up and tell your flock that, Dale. And you may not tell your family that. But I know down deep in the recesses of your heart what's real. And if you're not careful, you'll get just like this man. God has that message for you too. Why are Christians not telling people? Why? Why haven't you told somebody? This past week, I was greatly encouraged when the man from Cyprus stood up and said, I'm 78 years old, about completed my race. But if God will allow me, I want to go back to Cyprus one more time and tell some more of those people about Jesus Christ. 78 years old. When a man with his wife and young children says, we're willing to leave all the comforts of America. We're going to Argentina because there's people there that have not heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When a man and his family will stand and say, we're going back to South Africa, we're going to tell them that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Amen. When a young man who just, he and his wife just had their second child within days, and that young man says, I'm giving my life up for Jesus. I'm going to China, where they say, you can't bring a Bible in here, boy. You can't have a church in here. He said, I'm going over there, and I'm going to tell them that Jesus loves them. If we have to meet underground, if we have to meet in secret, however, whatever, I'm going to tell people that Jesus loves them. Man, if that doesn't challenge you, I don't know what will. And yet here we live in America,
where there's no laws at all that would prevent you from walking up at the local Walmart, 7-Eleven, Target, Burger King, McDonald's, Outback Steakhouse. Everybody at Cracker Barrel saved, so you don't have to do it there. And hand them a gospel tract and say, "Sir, ma'am, I'd like to give you something to read. It tells about God's love for lost sinners. Hey, it's real. It's real. Tell people." Why don't we tell? Well, let's look at three quick reasons. Number one, this is why Jonah didn't tell. Number one, Jonah didn't tell because Jonah, he got confused. He confused his comfort for God's compassion. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. I want you to underline some words in Jonah chapter 4, verse 10. "Then said the Lord, thou." So I want to talk about your problem, Jonah. I want to show you your problem. And he contrasted Jonah's heart with God's heart. All right? He said, "Jonah, I want you to have a big heart like me. I got your mind in chapter 1. I got your will in chapter 2. I got your body in chapter 3. But I don't have your heart, Jonah. And you'll never start telling lost people. You'll never get involved in missions. You'll never have a world outlook until God gets your heart." Never. Never. Ephesians 6:6 says we must do the will of God from our heart. That's when you're happy. Not when you just do the will of God. Not when I just do the will of God, but when I do the will of God from my heart, now the joy of the Lord will become my strength. He said here, Jonah, in verse number 10, he said, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perisheth in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city?" Jonah, you're so concerned about you and your comfort. You're so concerned about making everything around you comfortable. See, that's why the gourd came up. Read it. Jonah was out under the sun. He was sitting up there on the hill with his arms folded like, "Well, let's see what's going to happen. Let's just see what's going to happen now that I've told them. Maybe they won't accept it and they'll all die and fall under God's wrath." And God made a vine grow over him to give him shade. But then God sent a worm to eat that vine so that he would have and be exposed to the sun. And he sent an east wind so that it would burn Jonah, so that Jonah would get all angry and start having pity on himself and say, "What happened to the gourd? My gourd's burned up. My car's not running. My sports team lost. They cheated. That other team cheated." I tell you, we get so upset over some of the most ridiculous things. And I said we now. Come on. There are people dying and going to hell all around us. If we could get half as passionate about souls as we could NASCAR, amen, youth sports, shopping, amen, buying stuff, doing things, well, if we could just get half as excited, just half as excited. God said, "Jonah, you know what your problem is? All you care about is you." Now, I'm not saying that's you. I'm asking you. Could that be you? Could it be me? Here's what he said. Don't miss it now. Verse number 10. The Lord said, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, and yet you don't want me to spare," verse 11, "a whole city of people." Jonah, you're mixed up. My son, you're mixed up. Your priorities are way out of whack. All your energy and attention is on you and what you're going to get out of it. What about others and how they're going to face God without forgiveness? Number two, not only did Jonah get mixed up with his comfort and God's compassion, but Jonah put the material over the spiritual. God said, "Jonah, as long as you have material things, you seem to be happy. But wouldn't it make you happy if people got saved?" Well, don't that make you happy when people get saved? Brother David and I were out on visitation yesterday. And Hugh and Becky back here got saved. Amen. That was great. It made me happy. Made them happy too. They still smiling. Amen. You get saved, you get happy. Still smiling. Hey, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about people who need to hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God was trying to teach Jonah this. Jonah, you got so upset over a gourd. You got so upset over a little problem that you had, and yet there are people dying and going to hell all around you, son, and that doesn't seem to bother you. Does it bother you? And then it's as if God, and this was the final thing, don't miss this. It's as if God said, well, I'll tell you what, Jonah. Maybe this will get your attention. Jonah, if I can't get you interested, now listen, in going out there and telling those people that are killing my people, and that's what the Ninevites were, listen, that's what the Ninevites were doing, okay? These people were, listen, you read some of the history of Assyrians and you'll find where they were flaying people. I mean, they were impaling people. These people were gruesome. And Jonah said, I don't want to win them. Perhaps he said what many of us say. They've chose their bed. Let them lie in it. They paved their road. Let them travel on it. What if somebody would have looked at you and I that way? I'd still be on the road to hell. And you would too. He said, what about the children, Jonah? You don't care about the children? You don't care about them little babies? And they can't help it. You don't want to change culture for them? Jonah, if you don't go tell them and let me do a work in their heart, they're going to be raised the same way that they were raised, that the generation before them was raised, and the generation before them was raised. They're going to be raised in a crack house. Listen to me. I'm bringing this up to our day. They're going to be raised with a fix, with mom and daddy, with a fix of heroin in their vein. Listen to me. With liquor bottles on their cabinet, with pornography strewn out through the house. Fighting, violence, beating, abuse, poverty. What about the children, Jonah? Would 120,000 children interest you in getting out of your comfort zone and going to tell somebody, for God's sake, that there's a God in heaven that loves them? There are children that live within a stone's throw from many of our houses. They don't know God loves them. As a matter of fact, they don't think anybody loves them. And if somebody don't go tell them, they're going to grow up under that hatred. You want to stop racism? Get people to Jesus Christ. Amen? You want to stop all this mess? You get people to Jesus. You tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen? You want to stop child abuse? You show me a man that's truly saved by the grace of God and abuses his children. No. When you walk in the Spirit, there is no way you're going to abuse your children. No way. Jonah, could I interest you in the bus ministry? Those little children want to come to Sunday school. Oh, preacher, I'm busy. I'm busy. You're not doing it for the preacher. Chapter 4, look at this. Jonah went and preached, but I want you to notice what the people did. We'll talk more about this tonight because of time. I said chapter 4, but in chapter 3, verse number 5, so the people of Nineveh believed. Who'd they believe, folks? Chapter 3, verse 5. Jonah went and preached, but the people of Nineveh didn't say they believed Jonah. They believed Jonah's message. They believed God. See, it's not about you and I. God just wants to use us. God will do the work. God will do the work. The people of Nineveh believed God. That's what changed their life. Jonah, could I interest you? Could I interest you in a Sunday school class, Jonah? Jonah, could I interest you in soul winning visitation? Jonah, could I interest you in going across the street and inviting that family to come? Bringing the little children to Sunday school, bringing the little children to Wednesday night. Could I interest you in going, Jonah, getting out and doing something for my kingdom? Jonah, could I interest you in that? If you're not going to do it for this one's sake or that one's sake, if you're not going to do it for them, what about the little children, Jonah? They don't have a chance. They don't stand a chance if we don't do something to break that vicious cycle. You know, it's a shame God would have to go to that level to try to get a man's attention. But I'm glad God's willing to do whatever it takes to get people to Him. So here's Jonah. That's the message this morning. Just an old average Joe, or Jonah. Just an old average Jonah, right? Going along through life, and God said, Jonah, I'd like to interest you in something for my kingdom. Could I get you to go? Jonah said, I'm not going to go. I don't care if people die and go to hell or not. And though we may never would say that, our actions may betray us. So before we point our finger and say, boy, that Jonah was a backslidden, heartless prophet, let us examine our own lives. How have I gone? What have I done? Who have I helped? Who have I reached? Have I even tried? Do I care enough to even try? Do I care enough to get a few gospel tracts and put in my pocket to pass out to somebody? Have I walked across the street to tell my neighbor? When a person, God brings them to you and says, can I help you, sir, at a restaurant or a store? God brings them right to you. Do I care enough to even respond and share the gospel message? I hope that we do. See, that's what this is about. That's what it's about. Say, preacher, I sure would like to go to Argentina. If you won't tell them in America, you won't tell them in Argentina. I sure would like to go to South Africa. If you're not telling them in America, it's highly improbable you'll tell them in South Africa. So don't get confused now. God's called me to missions. Really? Are you involved in it here? If not, you may be like this man. You'll go, but in that spirit. I'd like to ask you to stand if you would. This past week, I envisioned, as I watched those missionary families stand up back there, I thought, you know, I wished every parent of Fellowship Baptist Church would bring their children and line them up and get the missionaries to sign their Bible or sign a shirt. You know, the way we do these godless, God-hating musicians and athletes. Shine a shirt, sign my helmet, sign my CD. See, those are the real heroes, brethren. Teach your children what real heroes are. What real heroes are. Teach your children about Peter and James and John, Andrew and Philip and Nathaniel and Stephen and Paul, Barnabas, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. When my boys were growing up, we're big Dallas Cowboy fans. Now stick with me, stick with me, stick with me. Don't leave me, don't leave me, don't leave me. Some of you are shaking your head. No. Stick with me, stick with me. And we were just as passionate as the next Redskins fan or Lions fan or Packers fan or I guess Patriots fan too. But I made sure that my sons understood something. You want to know the roster of the Duke Blue Devil basketball team? That's our team. They just so happen to have won the ACC championship game last night. Just felt compelled to say that. Before you go learning rosters of teams, how about learning the books of the Bible? The 12 disciples. Amen? Nothing wrong with having your favorite team. That's good. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with taking your boy out there and, listen, letting him hit it off the tee. Man, that's great stuff. Amen? That's a father. Listen. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. And if I did, it'd be wrong. Listen, that's great stuff. You little boy, little girl, you know, pow, hitting that thing off that tee. Man, you can just almost get to the place where you can tell that was my son hit that one. You don't even have to see it. It's got that ring when it comes off the bat. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. But now make sure you seek first the kingdom of God. Get it settled with your children. This is important. This is not. This matters. This doesn't that much. This is priority. This is not. This is primary. This is secondary. Amen? Make sure you teach them that so that when they grow up, their focus will be right. They'll understand, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I don't want to drive my stakes too deep here. I want to lay up for myself treasures on the other side. That's where it's at, parents. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the pianist is going to begin to play softly. I would to God